Oh, sometimes I just turn on the recorder and start recording. I don't necessarily have anything prepared in my mind to talk about. It's really quite interesting. And then things come popping and it's like, okay, well, we'll talk about that. You can say it's happenstance, but honestly, it probably has more to do with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the voice of inspiration. I don't really want to talk about kind of Mormon bashing leadership, but that might come out. You just never know. This morning I'm going on my normal route, going to work. I'm sure I've said it in the past, and I'll say it more, surely. I'm kind of a moth, hopping and bopping from place to place. I guess that's more of a butterfly thing. Maybe I should actually do the update. I always kind of downshift to being a moth, which isn't considered as pretty or as beneficial. But maybe I am more like a butterfly. You know, I only on a few occasions have had jobs that lasted more than 2 years. And lately, the last two jobs have lasted even less time than that. And I'm not really sure if there's a reason. I really hate to tie a justification to it to try to make myself look good. I'm just kind of flighty. My tendency is not to leave a job until I have another one set up. And now I think I've only done that once, when I was the chief information officer of a college. And just the scope and breadth of the job was kind of intimidating to begin with. And that was probably a contributing factor. I really wasn't sure that I wanted that much. And it speaks to the whole idea of responsibility. Did I really want to be that responsible for what goes on? At the end of the day, when I've looked at other chief information officers, although they have goals and plans, they don't usually do any of the work involved in it. And that's not to say anything bad about them. It's just that they usually have people underneath them that their primary job is the labor of accomplishing things. The CIO job that I had, this little bitty community college, was everything. Not only was I supposed to make sure it was getting done in kind of a managerial quasi-executive, I really avoided using the term chief information officer. I tended to use lead engineer more, because that was what was really more needed. And I felt like that the chief information officer role that I took and work that I had to do, that person would normally do more planning and strategy. One person really can't do all that, or at least I couldn't. And that was, I don't even know if it was humbling. It was just, It wasn't going to happen. Everything was always falling through the cracks. And then I felt like, as a member of the executive team, which chewed up an awful lot of time too, I don't know how people on the executive team had time to do the other things that needed doing. I don't think any of the executives at that school could really sit and just do their job. Perhaps the president could. But the level just under him, his executive council, executive group, was just not, I mean, they were doing three or four people's jobs. There was three or four levels of management all smashed into one person. And first I realized that I didn't have to do that, even if it was a question of, well, we're paying you a lot. You go, no, really you're not. We had to go on austerity measures because of fiscal problems that I think at its very heart were caused by just having to wear too many hats, basically making do, scraping by, and not really doing a good job or probably doing the job of meeting fiscal needs or of the regulatory burden, good accounting, things like that. In some ways, the regulation of very small organizations, the regulatory burden is made lighter through, you know, they say, okay, if you've only got an organization up to like 500 people or something like that, something on the small side, I don't know what that size should be. A college is rather bizarre. I don't think you should be able to count your instructors as part of the business. They end up being customers of the college just as much as students are. And when you take them out, it's like, oh, you're lucky if you have a basic staff of 35, 40, 45, 50 maybe. And not even that, probably, for just who's handling everything that needs to be done. And then under normal circumstances, there's size to be considered and what the requirements are. When it comes to universities and colleges, I couldn't see that really applied. And there certainly wasn't sufficient money to make this happen. And I had a lunch with the gentleman, good guy, tried hard worker. I was a little taken aback by how much an executive group there was. It was the same, probably the same size composition that a much larger university had. We were just a little college. I mean, little. And he said he was the gentleman who left when I came in. He was a little upset that he didn't get the CIO role, I think. But it was also something of, he had really given a lot to this organization, and he was a little bit resentful, and I could see that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and I wasn't willing to put up with the burden, honestly. And I think the college IT department suffered for it. Really did. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Matters is, are you like motivated, driven, blah, 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 stuff like that. There are a lot of things involved in employment and business that don't have anything to do with being smart. You have to be part of a pretty large business for you to be able to compartmentalize smart and be able to just enjoy somebody being smart. And I'm probably the first one to question it. I, as a personality type, I am an INFP. And INFPs really kind of drub themselves. Probably smarter than I give. I don't think that I let on. I don't mind other people knowing I'm the smart person. But they think it's a whole constellation of being amazing. And you go, no, just smart. I don't know how to apply that sometimes. Anyway. So he had come back with the whole idea of the whole thing being top heavy. He said, you know, there's now 8 people doing what 3 people used to be doing. And the whole thing was that 3 people couldn't do it. They were having to take really bad, I don't know if you call them shortcuts or... they were basically putting off and punting the ball, kicking the can on basic business processes, ethics. There was some ethical problems. And when I looked back at it, when I looked on it, I could see why they had done what they had done. They were underwater. And, you know, executive chuckled and smiled and say, well, learn how to breathe underwater. And you're going, you know what? That's one of the foundational problems of this kind of situation. So I propose, and I think it was somewhat independent of ideas coming out of the state capitol and out of the state legislature on how this was supposed to be done. These tiny independent colleges, I don't think are very viable in the context of being able to function in the regulatory stew that is colleges and universities in the modern world. Anyway, so I agreed with my replacement when I had my meeting with him to talk to him, because I definitely brought him on as a contractor. He had been the guy who had put together most of the systems on which the college ran, and our ability to turn to him on many occasions, to help us with things that he had put together was invaluable. Anyway, so I made the proposal rather early in my tenure, saying we need to seek out another college or one of the university systems in the state that had the resources to bear up under the regulatory load better than we could. Also brings on, and not much, but a little bit of the economics of scale. And it wasn't to save money. It was to be able to spread that load of what needed to be done and to take advantage of their capacity to do it. And I proposed it, and I had my own personal druthers. I had worked for a certain university system. So I kind of said, these guys do a good job, and I kind of like their take. They really didn't get to, or at least they had in the past, gotten very... dictatorial toward their branch campuses. They let their branch campuses be quite independent. And and kind of do their own thing. But with all of the administrative infrastructure of the whole university system. IIT was combined. These campuses could easily operate as with only one or two IT people total, which is how many this little college has ended up having again. Because all of the really heavy back end, heavy lifting was being done by the main campus, and the little campus people just kept up the local infrastructure, of which there was hardly anything beyond just keeping people's individual workstations running and able to connect to the larger information system. That was all that was required on that level, and I thought that that was probably all that an organization based in and with the resources, manpower available in a place like Tucumcari, New Mexico, a small town of 5,000 with a lot of people that were just, you know, a lot of the talent had left a long time ago. Anyway, so I proposed, they all tried to make it, it was all a political thing. They were trying to make it sound good. Merger, we're doing partnerships. They're still playing the partnership game, and you go, guys, but that's not what you need. These guys think that they can grow themselves out of it, which wasn't a horrible idea, but there really wasn't any particular capacity for it. You need more personnel. You need more bodies. That puts an added administrative load on an administration that was already so anemic. Oh, they couldn't do it. And also, when they did get the kind of, the only problem was they kind of started at the top and thought it might trickle down. And it didn't really, I don't think that was workable. That was why when this fella that I replaced said that it was top heavy, I went, oh yeah, that's obvious. It said, this place doesn't bring in enough money, resources, stuff like that to justify an executive group so large. And, at the end of the day, when things kind of fell apart, it came back and it said, and the finance person said, we can only do a couple of more payrolls and then we're done. We're underwater. And we don't have the money to pay them. And shared that with the state. The state, doing its regulatory thing, they always said, well, we want to be helpful. And you're going, those aren't the people that are there to be helpful particularly. They can say all they want to, but their actual job is regulatory. It says, and they're going to be the guys that bring in the executioners. They're going to be the guys that go, no, we're not going to do that. And I just saw more kicking of the can. And you can see that in right now the federal government's dealing with a federal shutdown. And I have sympathy for those that say, quit kicking the can down the road. Let's deal with the situation that we have. You know, everybody's saying, oh, we have to prevent a government shutdown. And you go, well, maybe, maybe not. Now, would that ultimately affect me? Ultimately, yes. You know, would I probably be furloughed? Probably. I was just getting ready to read an article about whether I could apply for unemployment, which, frankly, given how much money I make, even if I took unemployment, I'd be making more money than most people in my town make at their jobs. And that's a sad fact. Would I take advantage of it? Maybe. I really haven't had this opportunity before lately. I had taken unemployment, I forget when. I can't even remember. I didn't take it for very long at all because I don't tend to stay out of work very long. Anyway, and that's not to say I'm a wonderful, fantastic person. I just put forth good effort to get a new job, and that usually pays off. Hard to say if it will going forward. Hard to say. Anyway. And so I made a very public proposal to do this, and boy, did I get slammed, because people didn't like the whole sound of that. And I've been advocating for going in this direction for a few months. And although the college president kind of said, well, that's plan B, I thought that should be the plan. For long-term stability, for the ability to continue to have a higher ed institution, even a tiny one, in our area, I thought was the most useful thing to do. Well, the biggest problem is that these aren't fast-moving organizations. I tried to come up with a way so that it would happen rather. It could happen quickly and be as simple as it could be for the successor organization to practically close out the existing organization that had many problems, lawsuits from ex-employees that felt like they had just been badly dealt with and then fired. So many things coming to a head. Financials that hadn't been done in a few years. Finances going so poorly that the people who there was a chief information officer that had been brought in and didn't even last a couple of weeks before they said, no, I'm leaving, because there was nothing. The situation was that bad. In a financial way, this thing wasn't even really being able to be run like a business. Anyway, much, much less a college. And a lot of the standards and a lot of the other things were kind of loose in order to make things just kind of function. Much more loose than they needed to be. And it was almost deceptive. I think it was deceptive. I think things were said that were untrue. I think assurances were made to regulators on a lot of levels that were untrue. And I didn't really want to be, you know, I'm a typical INFP. I don't want to be involved in things that are sick in kind of a terminal state. I even said that this college, and I said this publicly, well, at least to the executive group, that the organization was cancerous and that I wasn't really interested in being involved in a cancer situation. If there was something that needed to be done, everything was paid as if everything was basically okay, and that we were going to go for, you know, we were looking ahead, we were going to innovate and stuff like that. You're going, wow, I think we need to get our house in order. And I think that other people tried to express this, and it really didn't happen very much. Kind of fell on deaf ears. My proposal was, I guess, considered a bit too radical. But I was going to be sticking with it because I thought it was ultimately what was going to best serve the entire purpose of having a higher ed facility in Tucumcari. Well, it got nasty. The higher ed department secretary, you know, a State Department secretary, came down. He didn't name me by name, only addressed me as the chief information officer, and in not a kindly way, as if she was my boss. Pretty much told me what I was going to be doing, and you go, excuse me, you don't know what my job is, and you don't know what I should really be doing. There is a regulatory load that you don't even know about, and I'm not going to be treated like some kid. And it's just like, yeah, it says, I'm sorry. It says, I'm not going to play the game of fighting off one regulator to please another. It just isn't going to happen. So anyway, you know, it was like, fine, I'm out of here. If she was trying to get rid of me, she did a fine job. It became very obvious that I was the wrong person for this situation. So I bowed out and I said, it's good. You can use my money that you paid me to do other things. So don't have a CIO. It gives people the impression that you're doing something that you're not going to be doing. You need somebody who just runs the IT department under the auspice of something else. Facilities, whatever. Finance, it probably makes the most sense to have it run under the finance person. Needed to address the top heaviness of the organization. I helped them do it by removing myself from it. When I look back a little bit, now this is very indicative. The actual college directory often didn't list who was still left in certain roles, but I saw that the HR person that we had acquired about the same time they had gotten me wasn't on that list anymore. So chances are he had left. Probably under the thing, under the regulatory pressure that was required that this outfit had no business getting involved in. Anyway, so that was a job that I didn't have for very long. And it was just interesting. The first time I'd really been met with those kinds of things. I'm sure people come back and say, well, that Nemro, you know, he could have stuck in there. He could have helped us. And you go, that was the help I was offering. You guys didn't want that help. You just wanted things to stay basically as they were. And for people not to complain about it and to just kick cans, stuff like that. And you go, and I'm just, I don't have to be that guy. You can get somebody else to do it. My advice is, get nobody to do it and liquidate that organization. Have one of the university systems take over the facilities and stuff like that. The actual physical plant, the actual equipment of the old entity, and make a branch campus of their own university out of it. Take the buildings, take off the sign of the original college, and put up a sign that says Branch College of blah, blah, blah. And start running and start doing classes again. That was my proposal. I thought it was a pretty good one. The old organization would continue to function at least as a business entity to take care of the necessary records for people who had gone to school with the original organization. up with some way to pass off those records to another entity so people could go to another entity to get their old transcripts, whether it was the university system that kind of took over the plant, the physical plant, or, you know, there's all kinds of business opportunities. I know that there are several colleges closing, and what do you do with their records? How do you handle their transcripts and stuff like that? Hand them over to a storage facility that can pass it out. There's such places already exist, student clearinghouse, stuff like that. It basically takes over that records role and can just do it without the college actually being present anymore. Nobody... They've been talking about, well, you should merge. And you go, no, my proposal had nothing to do with merging. The original organization would only remain to see out legal responsibilities, basically to take care of the lawsuits, things like that. And they could be run out of a shack a couple of blocks away, is where the old college would still have its headquarters, helping direct people to who they needed to see, a lawyer, something like that. The incoming organization would just be taking over buildings and equipment. It would be a transfer. These things are all state-owned anyway. The state would just transfer them from the old entity to the new one. The new one could pick up whatever personnel that it chose. They would come in. They would put their property stickers on everything there. Scan them, bring them in, process them, and that's it. That was the proposal, and it's really kind of painful to watch this whole situation drag on and on, mostly because of politics. We don't want to see this go away, and you go, guys, it's cancerous. Don't try to save this thing from the cancer. You're not going to be able to. Put it over into hospice and have somebody else move into the house, run the household, new organization, under new management, even more than that. Basically, the new management thing had been tried. I don't know. There had been a long periods of interim. I don't think they've been really very serious searching for a new president for this organization because I don't think anybody wants it. The poor guy that they got to come in and do it, he's just trying to keep his salary. He's going to keep his job. And, you know, I think that's what everybody's trying to do. The people who got really angry with me, because the proposal, I basically saw it as people that were just feeling threatened, feeling their job was threatened. And you're going, if you're doing a good job, chances are, the next organization, it'll be hard to get people to move to Tucumcari. It's got a lot of downsides. When they tried to sweeten it up to get people to come, it was a hard, it was a tough sell. I'm the first one to say, Tucumcari is no place to really live particularly. So that was kind of the attitude I think everybody had, was they were just trying to protect the jobs that they had. And they felt like all of the effort that they had gone to try to support the organization was not being properly respected. And I think I tried to make a bone for that by saying, if you've done a good job for the other organization, chances are the new organization coming on would want you to be a part of the new organization. That just seemed logical. Now, it was going to be difficult from an administrative standpoint because there was going to be a new system to process. It wasn't going to be the old processes. You'd have to adopt new processes of the larger new university system, or not new university system, the university system that was going to be taking over and basically doing higher education in the buildings of the old organization. That was kind of what was going to be, that was what I foresaw. And the old organization would just ultimately fold up and slowly die in a corner, which is what cancer usually does to somebody. All they're doing is keeping the existing colleges on life support from a pretty crabby bunch that says, you better have a plan for getting off of life support when you're going, this is hospice, man. This place is dying. That organization needs to pass. It is not going to regain some wonderful sense of health. Like I said, you just need to move somebody into their old house, take over all their assets, and manage them better. You don't want to get on to the people that really got hired but didn't know that they were really doing hospice care. They didn't know that. Oh, where's my... Uh-oh. There we go. Okay. All right. I'm to my place. I need to. I need to have my badge ready. All right. Anyway, I. So yeah. And I'm trying to be vague enough. I mean, it should be pretty obvious. I mean, I haven't been terribly bad. I'm not naming names, which is because they're not important. People were hired into the situation under interesting circumstances. In fact, the college president at the time didn't really know what the circumstances were. And he was doing his best to try to keep this thing pulled together. I don't know how helpful I was really being. There was a vote of no confidence, which was sad. After it was done, I said, yeah, I participated and I did vote against you, but for different reasons than other people did. It's because you weren't going in the direction I thought you should go in. Where the other people were just saying that they didn't like his manner. And this and that. It was a bunch of trumped up stuff. I really don't know all the politics behind it. Except to say that, oh, it's a full moon, or it's getting so close to being a full moon, you might as well count it. Wow. And it was just an unfortunate thing, and I was only there for about 6 months before I resigned. Good morning, good. You too, thank you. Well, one of the first times when I had left someplace without already having another job in the wings. And about this next job, the job I currently have was the first job that popped up out of that circumstance. Now, I don't know if I'm reviewing this because during lunch today, I've actually have an interview with another organization. Still basically working for the Department of Energy. Just in Amarillo instead of Albuquerque. A little closer to home, which my wife likes. Give every instance that they would be considering me for a bit more money than what I'm making now. I have to remember that because of my personality type and the way I basically approach things, I really sell myself horribly short. I need to be careful not to do that because I'm actually going to ask for significantly more money more than I was even making as a CIO of a little bitty college, or probably at a university. One of my old bosses, who was a CIO of this university system that I've been talking about so long, and that they should take over this new organization. It's their income is public knowledge. And I looked at it, and it was, I'm going to be asking for more than that to simply be kind of the builder of a new clustered system. I don't know if it's going to be a data center. I don't know what it's all going to entail. I don't know if this is a co-location situation, something that has already been built in one location and they want to build another one in another location that is already part of their system. I don't know. we'll see. We'll see. The interview's today at lunch, and so I'm going to be taking some time off from work to get that accomplished. Anyway, so we'll see how all that goes. This has been Cohen. This has been an interesting version of Cohen Monk Mormon. I don't know how what I just talked about has anything to do with any of those three things, except to say that I'm an interesting guy and I get tied up in interesting things. And how I approach them, I suppose, is also interesting. So there's something to be said for all that. We're gonna keep on, and let me leave you with the thing that gives me faith to continue striving forward, even though it's like, oh, you should have hung in there, and you go, no, it wasn't gonna work. It wasn't going to be, it's just something that needs to die, and I don't need to be throwing my thing at a life support. I've never been a life support guy. Anyway, the priestly blessing is coming. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine on you and be merciful to you. The Lord raise his countenance towards you and give you peace.